San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, August 16, 2020. Today's lesson is In the Presence of Solitude with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Core. So good morning. Good morning. It is a wonderful day today. It is a bit hot. We have been having a heat wave, but that's okay. That's okay. So I want to anchor us in that sacred truth as I do every Sunday. This is the universal, all-knowing evidence that we know, we feel. It is the absolute truth. There is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And I call this God, the living spirit almighty, one absolute, indestructible, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And this, repeating this every Sunday, is that repetition of thought, that reminder that when it becomes automatic, when somebody says one power, we automatically can think, yes, one power, one presence, I know, God is all, I am one with God, and everything is working out great. Everything is in divine order. All is well, because there's only one. One. And so that's one of the reasons why I repeat this every Sunday, to make it a part of your spiritual and mental DNA. Now this morning we're continuing our August theme of spiritual recreation or recreation. And the simple concept of relaxing and taking it easy and just plain enjoying life. We've been on our explorations in consciousness all year long. And by the time we get to August, we do need just a bit of a whew. And yet we are still deep in the middle of consciously exploring all that is happening this year. All that is happening within us and around us. Just popping into my head is no man is an island. Well, no woman is an island. No city is an island. No anything is an island. We are all part of each other. And so we are here to remember that. With spiritual recreation, for the past several weeks, we've explored many ways that you and I can recreate and spiritually recreate ourselves during this last full month of summer. And for many, August is a time to get away from it all. Just get away from it all. A time to sit under a tree and read a good book. A time to pack a lunch and have a picnic somewhere. Somewhere pleasant that's different from your normal scenery. I can have a picnic in my backyard every single day. Or I can walk over to the park and have a picnic in the park. And by being in the park, I get a different energy, I get a different perspective, and I still am just eating lunch in peace. We can go for a nature walk or go to a secluded beach, which most of them are these days, far away from the people and places that are familiar. If you've been down to Ocean Beach or Pacific Beach much over your time here in San Diego, and you've been recently, you can see that it looks like it's a completely different beach. It is not packed. It is not so packed that you can smell the sunscreen from three blocks away. It's more isolated, more small groups. And that's just how it is. So when we're trying to get far away from people, places, and things that are so familiar, just what is it that we are trying to get away from? Who and what are we escaping from on a normal August? I'm not implying that every time we go on a vacation or take time off, that we're avoiding someone or something, though that may be why some people do, but it's not an avoidance kind of thing. It's a take time for myself nurturing, myself healing. And so there's actually nothing wrong at all with getting away from it all. Sometimes in our family homes, we will have a separate room where we go to get away from it all. Or a nook outside in the garden where we go to get away from it all. And all that means is getting away from the distractions, the static, the noise. Always remember that wherever you go, there you are. So it's important to accept yourself first and accept where you are in life. We talked a lot about this in June. Before you can expect something to change, you need to take a look at who you are and accept exactly who you are. Don't make it good, don't make it bad. Just say, hey, boom, boom, here I am. This is who I am. Is this how I want to stay? And then choose. You can't escape problems just by changing your location. You have to change your mental location. The only thing that changing a physical location will give you is perhaps you can gain a new perspective. Now, this morning, we're going to be continuing our explorations in consciousness, which is our annual theme for 2020. And we're going to look at the concepts of recreation and spiritual recreation with our lesson titled In the Presence of Solitude. Not just the solitude, in the presence of solitude. So, what do I mean when I say in the presence of solitude? Let me tell you what the presence is. According to Ernest Holmes, founder of the religious science movement and author of the Science of Mind textbook, he says, the presence is God. To meditate upon the presence of God is to indraw the universe into one's own soul. God is not a person, but a principle personified in each of us. Spirituality is the atmosphere of this principle. Religion is its outward form. Okay, so the presence is God within us. And what about solitude? What do you think of when you hear the word solitude or seeking solitude? Well, the word solitude is defined as a state of social isolation or seclusion, a disposition toward being alone. And when I looked that up as social isolation, oh my goodness, here's another aspect of our exploration in consciousness this year. Now, it can be a voluntary escape of some time, some kind, or it can be something imposed upon you, imposed upon me, like being in solitary confinement. Or in prison, or the isolation of staying at home during this pandemic. The meaning of solitude that I would like you to keep in mind this morning is something that is pleasant, something that brings you comfort, joy, and peace of mind. With this pandemic, so many of the people are staying at home because of health orders by our state and local government. And that's not the kind of solitude I'm talking about today. Imposed isolation is based on fear or the need for protection. And that's not the basis of real solitude. I turned this because I wrote sideways. Rather, it's the very need for it. Because real solitude brings peace. Real solitude brings deep, sustaining inner peace through a greater connection with the divine. Another word closely associated with solitude is solace. Solace means to give comfort, to console, or to seek relief from something. Solace is an easing of grief, loneliness, or discomfort of some kind. It usually involves compassion, understanding, and most of all, silence. No words, no sounds, only stillness. Now, if you are thinking, wow, this is something I would like to know, or I would like to experience, or I would like to know more about, and you are willing, I have an affirmation for you today. So if you're willing, place your hand over your heart and repeat after me. Today, I am willing to explore sacred solitude, to not just know about God, but to know God. And so it is. And so breathe. Breathe. There's a deep, deep difference between knowing about God and knowing God. And you have expressed your willingness to explore this. And that is very, very powerful. So I honor you in that. I honor you in that. Some of you may remember a guy named Paul Simon. He was not only a singer-songwriter, but he was also a poet. A poet that put music to his deeply moving lyrics and created songs that are still relevant in today's world. These are some of his lyrics. Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. When that song came out in 1964, it was like a prayer for many during times of great strife in our nation. It was a song of comfort and solace, and it still remains one of the most powerful affirmations of the human experience. To actually listen to the sounds of silence. To be still enough to experience the presence of the one presence of spirit. You've probably all heard of the Course in Miracles. And there are multiple books about it. And there's a passage that refers to the quiet center of serenity in the midst of raging activity. And it appears in chapter 18, part 7. And it reads, yet there will always be this place of rest to which you can return. And you will be more aware of this quiet center of the storm than all its raging activity. This quiet center in which you do nothing will remain with you, giving you rest in the midst of every busy doing. And that is so powerful and so true. There are many, many people who have written about the silence within, who have spoken about the silence within. In fact, there are so many that I could probably stand here for a week and do nothing but quote people who have written and spoken on this. So I hope that the different quotes that I have for you today go to show you that everybody is saying the exact same thing. They're using different words, but they're saying the exact same thing. Silence is more than the absence of sound. True silence is the peace of God that passes all understanding. Biblically speaking, everything was created out of the silence. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's important to realize that the Word was not an audible sound. The Word is the essence and energy of the one power and the presence of Spirit. All of creation manifested from this invisible essence. Your thoughts emerge from the nothingness of silence. Your words come out of this void. Your very essence emerged from the emptiness of the universe. And the best way to commune with this essence of God is through prayer and meditation. Prayer and meditation. And we know all about those. We were here for meditation this morning. Ruth Haley Barton wrote, "It is an invitation to enter more deeply into the intimacy of relationship with the one who waits just outside of the noise and busyness of our lives for a space within which meaningful connection can occur. It is an invitation to communication and communion with the one who is always present, even when our awareness has been dulled by distraction. It is an invitation to the adventure of spiritual transformation in the deepest places of our being, an adventure that will result in greater freedom and authenticity and surrender to God than we have yet experienced." When we sit in the silence, that is an invitation. We are opening ourselves up to know God. Dr. Fenwick Holmes was the brother of Ernest Holmes, and he also was a prolific author and leader and teacher in religious science. He wrote in his book, The Law of Mind and Action, "The true silence is the quiet realization of a spirit with such intensity of feeling that we are one with the infinite mind." Let me say that again. The true silence is the quiet realization of spirit with such intensity of feeling that we are one with the infinite mind. There's thinking and there's feeling. And the feeling is so much more powerful than the thinking. Because the thinking we kind of organize and we figure, well, I'll have to do this, I'll have to do that. But the feeling is sometimes so powerful that it cannot be expressed in words. And it doesn't need to be. It doesn't need to be. Also in the Bible, there's Psalm 46. Verse 10, that is, "Be still and know." Be still and know what? Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. In other words, there's only one God, one power, one presence, and one infinite intelligence that flows through all creation, all nations, and all people. And it doesn't matter what an outward religious expression thinks about it, says about it, writes about it, because the truth is there's only one. We happen to call it God or Spirit or the Divine or Source or the Essence or First Cause. We call it lots of things. We do. And it doesn't matter what we call it, because it itself is changeless. Be still and know that I am God is the still small voice of spirit within you. It is in this awareness that you are guided and directed to peace of mind and success. The truth within the scripture is this: as your world seems to crumble around you, stand still in your faith. Not because of a self-made confidence, not because you're cool, calm, and collected in the face of any disaster. No. Rather, because as Isaiah says in chapter 30 and verse 15, spirit within you is all powerful. Rely on it. Let God be your strength. The quote is, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. So what I'm telling you is that spirit within you is all powerful, and you can rely on it. There's a power greater than you are, and you can use it. Let God be your strength. Just allow it to be. There was the St. Teresa. Everybody remember St. Teresa from our Catholic upbringing? Did I expose myself? Of course I was raised Catholic. But St. Teresa was well known in all of the Christian area. And she was a mystic. She lived during the 16th century. She said something pretty powerful. Let nothing disturb you. Let nothing frighten you. Everything passes away except God. God alone is sufficient. God alone is sufficient unto all things. It's the one power, the one presence. And being in the presence allows us to know that nothing else outside matters. It's there. It's an experience. But what's really important is remembering that we are one with the divine. There are many ways and many places to find solitude in the presence of God. The mystics, the sages, the masters, and enlightened ones throughout history have known the value of silence and solitude. Siddhartha sat alone in silence under the Bodhi tree and walked away the enlightened Buddha. Moses experienced his desert experience, and he found himself in the presence of the burning bush. Jesus spent time in the Garden of Gethsemane in silence before his journey to the cross. So regardless of your challenge, regardless of the constraints that we are experiencing during this global pandemic, remember that you have the opportunity to spend some time in quiet contemplation and solitude. Not social isolation, deep sacred solitude. Everyone can find a place to just be and allow spirit to permeate your mind and your body. Just be and be open to what comes. It could be your bedroom, your backyard, or a special place where you can find refuge from the pressures of life. If your house is full of other people, maybe you can sit outside or you can sit in a car. Good, sit outside or sit in a car, yes. But you can always find refuge from the pressures of life. Some of our public peaceful areas are not open right now, but that doesn't mean that we can't sit someplace else and remember what it's like to sit in Balboa Park or at the beach or at the Encinitas SRF Gardens. The most exclusive place for you is right where you are. right where you are. No matter what you're doing, any place can become a meditation garden or a cathedral when you still the mind and become present in the presence. Biblically speaking, it's called the closet of the Most High. In the Holy Scriptures of Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, it is written, "When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." Now, be careful of those words, "will reward you." Doesn't mean you go into a room quietly and pray and a bag of gold appears at your feet. No. We know that God does not punish or reward. We here on earth in our human form are rewarded and punished by our own choices and by our own actions. What Matthew means is that there is a peace of mind that gives you clarity, a sense of confidence and faith that gives you inspiration to carry on another day. It's the peace of mind that comes when you know that you are never alone in this world. And that is why it's so important to take time away from it all, to remember you are not alone. There is life within you that is you and that is one with all. Solitude is the practice of being absent from other people and other things so that you can be present with God. In solitude, we rest from our attempts to recreate the world in our image. That's a lot of work trying to recreate the world in our image. Our teaching has a statement that we make, a world that works for everyone. And they want us to strive to have a world that works for everyone. And maybe it's just the little rebel in me, but I say, hey, let's get down to the bottom line. We already have a world that works for everyone. Not everyone likes the way other people live. Not everyone likes the way the world is already perfect. But according to spiritual truth and spiritual law, it already is working for everyone. Maybe it's not working the way some people want it to work. That doesn't mean it's not working. If we say that it's not working, that we're striving for this great world that works for everything, we are denying the very basic spiritual truth that we teach in the divine creative process. We create our own reality because we are God's grace in action. What we put out, we get back, not by the law of attraction, but by the law of divine creativity. And that law can only say yes. The universe always says yes. God always says yes. It doesn't say, do you want to rethink that? That doesn't look like a good idea to me. It says, you want this? You believe this? There you've got it. And that's why we want to be careful what we wish for. Because what we desire deeply with our passions, with our feelings, that is what comes forth in our lives. And when we don't like what's coming forth in our lives, we get to go deeper. The common denominator in every one of our experience is ourself. So if we don't like the experiences we're having, we have the means and the tools and the power to change that common catalyst that is ourself. So enough about recreating the world in our image. That keeps us from experiencing our sacred solitude. When we accept and are grateful for that which is around us, the things we are grateful for increase. Has everybody heard of Norman Vincent Peale? Okay, well, he was an author. He was a minister. And he wrote a book many, many, many decades ago called The Power of Positive Thinking. Now, he was also a good buddy with Ernest Holmes and a good buddy with Schuller. And there was a whole group of ministers teaching the same ideas of the truth that we are active role players in how our lives turn out. And when we look at things positively, we have a higher vibration and a higher energy. And if we just sit down and sulk and say, oh, poor me, this isn't working out for me, you know, lost my job, lost my truck, lost my dog, like the country western songs. By the way, you know, if you play them backwards, everything comes back. So he wrote a book, Norman Vincent Peale did, and the famous one was The Power of Positive Thinking. But he also had a book, Stay Alive All Your Life. Stay Alive All Your Life. And he wrote, an excellent technique for overcoming tension is the practice of silence. At some time during every day, it's a good thing to observe a period of absolute quietness, for there is a healing power in silence. Go into a quiet place. Do not talk. Do not do anything. Throw the mind into neutral as far as possible. Keep the body still and maintain complete silence. That is how we can relax. That is how we can let go of stress, let go of tension. Just being in the silence. Another way of practicing solitude is to find what is called Sabbath time. Sabbath time. We have a friend, Dr. Christian Sorensen, who's the senior minister up at Seaside in Encinitas. And one of his articles he wrote, in the Hebrew culture, many rules developed around the Sabbath. These rules were designed to help people refrain from any work on that day so they could spend it contemplating God, being with their families, and taking a needed rest. While the rules aren't that important, the idea of the Sabbath is. Taking time for the Sabbath means setting aside the things you are working on that simply keep you busy. You consciously decide to rest, relax, and enjoy some quiet downtime. This may include being with others, but most likely not in a party or a loud, crowded atmosphere. The idea of the Sabbath is to renew yourself, restore your inner balance, and create space in your life. Every thought is a prayer. Every moment is an opportunity to commune with the divine presence. The secret of dynamic spiritual power is to relax and allow spirit to flow through you with ease and grace. The Peace Pilgrim, an amazing woman, she says, the main reason we pray and meditate is to know God rather than just knowing about God. To know God rather than just knowing about God. So remember to keep a Sabbath whenever possible. Spend some time alone with your higher spiritual self. Take some time to listen, to spiritually recreate and recreate your life, and to listen to the sounds of silence. Thank you for your time and your attention this morning. Namaste.